Hello, my name is David Seichelbach. I'm a cognitive scientist and philosopher at the Center for Artifact Studies. Fourth in a podcast series on brains, thinking, and knowledge, this episode is a look at Eastern versus Western psychology and is titled Eastern versus Western Psychology. The East of Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, and Jainism, and the West of Western academia, science, and medicine offer two competing and in ways complementing approaches to the study of the mind. They approach the brain differently, having different scopes, methods, and their own benefits and limitations. As with the proverbial left and right hemispheres of the brain, the two approaches should complement each other, and indeed, each school has influenced each other. Let's first look at Eastern psychology. Eastern psychology, which is centuries old, is tied into the Eastern philosophy and mystical theology of the Hindus, Buddhists, Jains, and Taoists. If you haven't listened already, I recommend you listen to the first episode in this podcast series. It discusses the proverbial right brain mysticism, which is the Eastern way of thinking and the basis of their religions and psychology. Eastern psychology is mystical, using that type of thinking. It is more subjective and inward-looking than the academics West's scientific approach, and thus differs in many ways. It works to serve not just the mentally troubled, but everyone. It attempts through many methods and processes, meditation, yoga, tai chi, mindfulness, personal introspection, to bring the individual to higher consciousness and they believe enlightenment, which shows how it is intertwined with the religion and philosophy. The East treats psychology, philosophy, and religion as one, not separates. In the West, psychology is separate from the other sciences, religions, and often even philosophy. Traditionally, it is considered bad and even unethical and unscientific to mix them. Many in the West consider theology and science to be like oil and water. In the East, however, philosophy, psychology, theology, and one's own way of life are all mixed together and considered parts of one whole. It is all a part of one way of thinking. If you know Buddhist, Taoist, and Hindu philosophy and techniques for enlightenment and leading a proper life, you essentially know their psychology. Buddhism, for example, is about clearing and expanding the mind through meditation, mindfulness, and proper living, which is both a philosophical and psychological methodology. Same with the yoga and meditation of Hinduism and the Tai Chi of Taoism. It is all about trying to achieve mystical awareness and make an emphasis on the right hemisphere of the brain. Really, Eastern psychology is a mystical reflection and exploration. Buddhists regularly talk about the shallowness of symbolic language, categorization, and society's labels, which in part explains why they think theology, psychology, and philosophy are one. They don't make the arbitrary, drawn separateness between those three areas. Eastern psychology focuses on everyone, not just the mentally ill and troubled. While traditionally, and even in modern philosophy of medicine, Western clinical psychology, psychiatry, and medicine were designed for the treatment of the mentally ill or people having troubles, Eastern psychology was designed for everyone, including the normal and healthy. Eastern psychologists say that a problem with Western psychology is that it applies its conclusions for treating the mentally ill to everyone. And they feel this is an incorrect approach. They say that the mentally ill are often the aberrations. Buddhist, Hindu, and Taoist philosophies are designed to bring everyone, including normal people, into higher states of enlightenment and knowledge of the universe, for being of better conduct and living better lives and being harmonious with the universe. Eastern psychological techniques, meditation, self-reflection, yoga are for everyone, not just the mentally troubled. In recent years, Western psychology has caught on to this, as evidenced by the integration of Eastern psychological practices of mindfulness, meditation, and yoga into clinical psychology and daily life. Eastern psychology is about looking inward at the self. Hinduism, Buddhism were well ahead of their time, at least compared to Western academic psychology and science, in that they focused on the inner self, studying one's own mind. That was the center and study of spiritual practice and one's inner self laboratory of psychological experimentation. Theologically, Hinduism and Buddhism considers oneself a reflection or microcosm of the rest of the universe. Also, from a practical standpoint, it is all one can really know and study. This reflection and study of the self is intuitive and subjective. This goes against the tenets of Western scientific method. However, the East sees the limits of Western psychology that only studies that which can be objectively and externally measured. There's much in psychology, in the self, that is unmeasurable, personal, and unquantifiable. Emotional feeling, aesthetic experience, mystical experience, much of the religious experience. This is much of what today's psychotherapy, including in the West, is about, examining the self. Much of the universe is beyond science and even human logic and symbolic language. Mysticism attempts to become closer with the transcendental universe in personal, irrational ways. In fact, some academics say that Eastern psychology is psychotherapy. While early Western psychology shied away from introspection and personal subjectivity, this Eastern study of the inner workings of the mind, emotions, feelings, was centuries ahead of Western psychology's cognitive psychology that used scientific methods to study the inner workings of the mind. In fact, the West behavior psychology and structuralism, which are talked about later, they intentionally avoided the untestable inner workings of the mind and were criticized even by Western psychologists for this blind spot. That something cannot be scientifically studied or that you choose not to ignore it doesn't make it non-existent or unimportant. It makes your scientific study unwhole. It is true that the exploration is subjective to the person, and this is a limit and a problem. However, the human experience, all human experience, involves subjectivity, and the studying of this subjectivity is important to understanding humans, which is what psychology is about. And while the subjectivity is limiting and corrupting, it is also a path that the Eastern psychologists do use to expand their mind. All explorations and modes of study, all attempts to expand the mind, have limits and problems. Along with studying and reflection on the inner workings of the mind, Eastern psychology had many clinical psychology and cognitive therapy methods that are used today by the West. Buddhist and Hindu psychology uses mindfulness, meditation, and introspection. It says one should work to rid oneself of delusions and realize that all one needs is the self. It says true enlightenment is when the mind and the universe are inseparable. That is the Buddhist and Hindu philosophy and theology. As you see, Buddhist psychology and practice and philosophy are one. The Taoists believe that you should live in harmony with nature, and its psychology works to fix bad habits and thoughts that prevent this. Much Taoist psychology work is beyond words, such as Tai Chi. Taoists believe it is not just words and thoughts that are important, but even the way one moves, even walks across a room. This is mystical. Eastern psychology is concerned with society and earth, not just the individual. While Eastern psychology works with the individual, including teaching him or her to work on the self while living in a troubled, distracting, materialistic, and corrupt society, it is also concerned with society as a whole and the whole of the universe. Remember that Eastern religions see everything as intertwined and not separate. While Western psychology often sees mental illness as one who does not fit in with society, the East often sees the society itself as being the ill one. The East often says that the enlightened will be seen as mentally ill by the West because the enlightened person's thoughts and ways do not conform. Eastern psychology is concerned with social greed, corruption, war, ethic, and racial hatred, and often views them as a result of the people's errant inner thoughts. So Eastern psychology is concerned with society as a whole. Now let's look at Western psychology and the scientific method. Western psychology, a relatively modern area that studies human brains and behavior using the scientific method, it studies humans using observation and measurable scientific sensory information. Unlike the centuries-old Eastern psychology, Western psychology of the academic tradition of Europe and North America is relatively recent, starting in the mid-1800s. Western psychology is the scientific study of human brains and behavior, traditionally approaching from a strictly scientific point of view. As it is a science, psychology uses the scientific empirical method that is used in all areas of Western science. The scientific method is the process where scientists collectively and over time try to create reliably objective representations, theories, and models of the world and the things in it. It is applied to all areas of science, including chemistry, biology, physics, engineering, and medicine. In particular, it creates theories and experimentally tests them through the senses and observation. It attempts to be objective and remove scientists' biases, though biases can never be entirely escaped. The science of psychology avoids individual introspection and experimentation through subjective personal feelings and intuition as done in the East. It is wary of the way lay people use personal or anecdotal experiences or feelings as proof of broader truths. They know that such personal experience is subjective, informed by personal and often irrational biases. There are many areas, schools, and specialties in Western psychology. The following is a few major ones, demonstrating how the scientific method is used and how each area has its limitations in understanding humans. The first school of Western academic psychology was called structuralism. In 1879, Wilhelm Wundt introduced the first formal experimental psychology, and his area of study was called structuralism. He worked to study the conscious mind, totally ignoring the unconscious mind, and intentionally studied it using the scientific methods he saw used in chemistry and physics. An obvious limitation of structuralism is that it was limited in its study of just the conscious mind. A following major psychology school and movement that shows both the objective scientific method and its limits was behavior psychology, or behavioralism. Harvard's B.F. Skinner was the leader in this area. Behavior psychology studied the outward behavior of human animals. It dismissed the inward personal experiences and non-symbolic thought of the subjects, as they could not be objectively measured from the outside. Behavior psychology studied how humans and non-human animals outwardly reacted its behavior to events, stimuli, and actions. It could even be used to alter human behavior, Pavlov's dog that drooled at the ringing of a bell in anticipation of its food is perhaps the most famous example. Psychologists and philosophers saw the obvious blind spots of structuralism and behavioralism. They ignored the inner experience of the mind. The inner subjective experience is hard to study externally, but that doesn't make it any less real or any less important a subject to study. The next major movement was cognitive psychology and cognitive science, areas that I work in. They work to study the inner workings of the brain, how the brain works, processes information, comes to judgments, the emotions, attention, etc. This area also uses the scientific method and often incorporates biologists, biochemists, neuroscientists, and psychiatrists. Along with old-school testing methods, cognitive science and cognitive psychology uses MRI, brain scans, etc. to study how the brain reacts under different circumstances, from sleep to our perception to fear. It may be a study of the inside of the brain and personal experiences and emotions, but it is no less scientific than behavioral psychology. Structuralism, behavioralism, and cognitive psychology are just three of many areas of psychological study, which show the progression of the areas of study and the use of the scientific method. There are limits of the scientific method, including in psychology. Science is a tool, a careful and exacting tool, but all tools have limits. With science, this includes what it can and cannot study. Despite wishing to remove subjectivity and bias from the scientific theories and experiments, this cannot be entirely done. It would be foolish to think that they can ever be entirely removed. The human race has biases simply by being human. Science can only study that which can be objectively observed and measured, and many real things are outside of this realm. This includes the artistic experience, the mystical experience, inner feelings, the aesthetic experience of music, emotions, and internal non-symbolic experiences. This should show the limits of Western psychology as applied to humans and the human mind. Western psychology is moving beyond the limits of science. In recent times, people in the West have seen these limits in Western psychology, in particular in the clinical and therapeutic ways which are dealing with real individuals and personal problems. The West has incorporated many Eastern psychology theories and practices: meditation, self-introspection, yoga, mindfulness, and even acupuncture are commonplace these days in the West, including in mainstream psychology. Humanistic psychology is a clinical psychology that values the private, subjective experience and even said it is more important than those objective science things to the individual's personal experience. The following is a quick summary of this episode. Psychology, or the study of the human brain and mind, is an essential part of science and understanding humans. Eastern psychology is intuitive and mystical in its approach and studies the self, its emotions, feelings, personal emotional experiences. It is of the belief that studying the self is studying the universe. That's very theological. And this is a theory consistent with mystical experience, where things appear to be one, where there is no self versus other. It studies things and addresses questions that cannot be addressed by science. However, its limits are that it is subjective and much of its findings cannot be verified empirically by science. Western psychology uses the scientific method to study the human brain and mind. It is an exacting tool, which is its strength. However, its limits are that there are things that are beyond science, and science can only study that which can be measured and seen. Further, science is a work in progress, with theories proven wrong, adapted, and fixed. This has both its strengths and its limits. Each method is limited and both complementary and like oil and water. And even together, they give a disjointed and limited view of the brain and mind. Such is the nature of human existence. I'm David Cycleback. Thank you for listening.